So, just full disclosure, I'm podcasting shirtless.
Is it that hot?
It's like super hot, and I'm probably going to be overcompensating, vis-a-vis the energy is concerned, because I'm sapped.
Oh.
Because you can't have a fan or the AC on when you're recording, or else it ruins the audio quality. So it's like, I'm sitting here, shirtless and hairy. So this is the sacrifice that I make for you. So if you hear my voice kind of go, ooh, okay, whew. That's me jump starting myself with a nipple tweak.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Chris, what episode is this?
Episode 28 of Those Damn Ross Kids.
Who am I?
Cole.
Thanks. I like hearing my name. It's fun, isn't it?
That's great.
It's a, hey Chris.
Hey man.
Did you feel that?
Yep.
Did you feel the tingle? Okay, I just wanted to make sure, Chris.
There it went again.
Yep, there we are. Do you have a story for me?
Maybe.
Maybe not. Who knows?
Maybe a couple.
Okay.
I just
are they,
what
are
kind
they
of
related
what kind
under
of,
a theme?
No, they're all over the place.
Oh, okay.
They're all over the place, man. I just, what kind of mood are you in?
Do you have anything sexy? Because I'm sitting here without a shirt. I feel like something sexy.
Heck yeah, I have tons of sexy stuff.
Oh man. I knew it. You always come through with the sexiness. I'm sitting over here living a blue, sad life, and you drop the sexy on me.
You know when it's hot. You know what feels good?
What feels good?
Some iced tea.
Yeah, like a delicious.
In Henan, China, an online advertisement agency seeks out C-cup virgin girls to work as tea pickers on a plantation.
Okay.
At the turn of the last century, some Chinese tea sellers experimented with the odd concept of tea before breasts. 16-year-old virgins were asked to pick leaves under the darkness of night and stuff the leaves into their clothes between their breasts. The idea was that the leaves would absorb body scent, which would subsequently enhance the flavor of the tea. Fast forward 100 years. Today, the job description issued by the Scenic Mountain Development Company boasts a $76 daily salary and describes the expectation that the girls retain the leaves in their mouths and spit them into a holder between their breasts before making tea out of them. The selling point is that the tea contains yin, feminine, qualities exemplified by virginity and cleavage.
That is some very energetic cleavage you have going on there.
That is nice, isn't it?
Do you know how you measure cleavage energy?
No.
Just a pencil dropped ever so gingerly into the fold.
I thought it was by. I thought you had to be sort of a geologist to tell me what kind of rock hard I was.
I've got a geode between my knees. Yeah, it's
Excuse me. Excuse me. Mess in the yes, the khaki shirt. Yes, you. Yes. What kind of rock hard am I? And I mean, it's pretty rock hard, but I don't know what kind.
You there with the jeweler's loop?
That's you there.
I think my favorite part of that is that they do it under the cover of night.
Can you score this? They used to. This was back out like 100 years ago. It was like the nighttime, and it was a little, it was taboo and stuff. But today they can work during the day, yeah. as long as they keep spitting them leaves on them titties.
I wanna see that doc. Can we get that doc on Netflix instant?
Probably.
Maybe. Oh, they're underage shit.
Could be.
Yeah. Well, speaking of things that you can do on a hot day, can I give you a reason to never ever eat ice cream from a truck again?
You probably could.
Yeah, maybe. Did you were you a big fan
of the ice cream truck?
Of the ice cream truck, yeah.
No, but I love box one.
Son of a bitch. Okay, well, I'll tell the story anyway, even though this is one of the stories where our Venn diagram of pre-pro got pretty tight. Okay, so a Philadelphia ice cream truck driver was arrested at a DUI stop after he was spotted by a parent driving fairly erratically. not erotically, erratically. A thorough search of the truck revealed several boxes of wine in the freezer next to the delicious treats, or among the delicious treats, along with numerous water bottles filled with, what else? Human urine.
That's only a misdemeanor.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Piss hoarding?
No, he faces misdemeanor drunk driving charges. That's it.
Wow.
That's all he gets.
Okay, so I guess, you know, this is one of those things where, like, municipality laws and things like that, I really kind of lose track of it. So it's not illegal to break health code like that. Like, all that will do is get you shut down or fired. Like, that seems like straight up endangering kids.
I don't know, maybe it's just a little piss.
Just a little piss, you know, it's not gonna, how else are you gonna make the snow cones?
They were going to get pissed on sooner or later.
They were going to. No, we talked about this before. Piss inoculation. If you just drink a little bit of, the spring eggs or whatever. If you just consciously ingest a little bit of piss, it won't bother you just how much accidental piss exposure you're tripping into every single day of your life.
This is all true.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I don't trust, you know, migratory nomadic, frozen treat salesman. And, you know, I never trusted him before. I'll never trust him now.
I don't know. All the people we bought our treats from are Rocket Pops. They were white guys.
Yeah, this guy was, his name was Hassan something.
Yeah, I mean, and our Flintstone Push Pops.
Oh, man, those were really good. Like the orange cream ones.
Mm-hmm. The Ding Dongs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess now they have like SpongeBob Pops, but, you know.
The Whizzle Fizz. Yep, that would be a good prank, though. But I found the best prank ever.
That's absurd. Okay, I'm just along for the ride now. What prank was that?
Popular Japanese TV show called Panic Face King. Is the best. I mean it. It's the best.
Okay.
The star of this particular prank that I'm talking about thinks he's being interviewed for a documentary when a staged sniper attack kills everyone around him, leaving him crawling for his life. The man is seen hitting the floor and crawling to a door that he finds is locked. Fake SWAT members burst into the room and attempt to rescue the man, all while realistically returning fire at the fake sniper. Being both Japanese and awesome, upon finding out the prank was finding out that the entire thing was a prank, the man laughed. He laughed.
What else are you going to do?
All right. You can find this video by searching YouTube for fake Japanese sniper attack. Or if you're Cole, you can go to the link that I just sent you.
Oh. Do you want me to like watch it on the air here?
Yeah, watch it real fast.
It took him 13 and a half minutes to... to realize that he was not actually under fire. Wow.
Yeah.
One thing that I love about Japanese television shows is the, like, you know, those prank reality shows, is that whenever the action's happening, they always have an insert picture in picture shot of like reaction shots of like cute female audience members laughing.
Well, that's a thing, man. That's the Japanese. Watch anything Japanese and there's some sort of like young girl going.
Yeah, it's great. It's a very respectable culture, that.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know how I would react in that situation, honestly. I think that he reacted probably about as good as anything. I mean, I think that we all have delusions about how we would react in that kind of, you know, under that kind of stress. And I think that that was a pretty realistic, you know, horizontal slice of or vertical slice rather, of the possible reactions, because he froze and then he tried to run and then he laughed and cried.
You're supposed to take the people who've already been shot and pile them on top of you.
Oh yeah. You're supposed to hide in the corpses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When in doubt, hide in the corpse.
When in doubt, you use the corpse as a human shield.
Take refuge in the dead guy.
Take refuge in the dead.
In the dead man.
Yeah. So since we're talking about weird cultures, can I hit you with a quiz?
Yeah, do that.
Yeah. This is going to be Spot the Fake Festival. Now, as is abundantly clear by my shirtless appearance, summer is rapidly approaching, and some would say already here. And that means that there are festivals that are going to be taking place. You know, people, you know, the weather's nice. People are going to go out. They're going to find reasons to celebrate the planting and the harvest and stuff like that. So what I'm going to do, Chris, I'm going to give you festivals from all across the world in sets of three. And you're supposed to tell me which one is the fake one, which one I made up, keeping in mind that the other two are very, very real. Are you okay with that?
I'm great.
You're great.
Let's do it.
Okay, so let's do this. This is the first set, and these are organized by category, not by scattergory, as I sometimes do. Here we go. This first set is dangerous festivals. All right. Here we go. Number one, Thai Pusam. This festival is a popular Hindu celebration in southern India. Attendees proceed to mortify their flesh, piercing their mouth, tongue, cheeks, chest, stomach, and backs with skewers and pulling tractors with hooks set into the flesh of their backs. It is believed that those who can physically handle more pain will be more blessed by the gods. Festival number two, El Colacho. This Spanish celebration is also known as the Devil's Jump. Local infants are laid on a mattress in the middle of the street, and revelers are urged to jump over the mattress and the babies contained therein. This is believed to purify the sins of the jumpers and protect the babies from illness. And finally, La Fiesta del Fuego. This Argentinian tradition is a celebration of the purifying and destructive power of fire. A small wooden town is erected outside of the city of Rosario, Argentina, and it is inhabited by partygoers over the course of 3 days of drinking and dancing. At midnight of the third day, festival attendees break out the matches and the gasoline and burn the town to the ground to protect their own homes from conflagration. Which of those is fake?
The first one is real.
Okay.
I believe.
You believe?
Yes.
This is just based on gut and not actual knowledge of that festival. Okay.
Yeah. Argentine and Burning Man. Baby jump mattress. Baby mattress jumping is fake.
Is it?
I believe.
You believe it is?
Yeah.
Well, actually, no. The Devil's Jump is a real thing that takes place in Spain every
April. Goddamn you, Fuego.
Yep,
I knew it. That was my gut.
That was your gut.
You
should go with the gut.
I really like to say fuego.
It is my favorite Spanish word. Just like personal arson is my favorite crime.
Argentine and Burning Man.
Burning Man was the inspiration. I make no bones about that.
I knew it. Gosh.
Okay,
I should get a half point for that.
There's no fractions, Chris. It's either a one or a zero.
Fine.
All right. Second set, messy festivals. La Tomatina. This Spanish festival consists of a week-long tomato battle, with mostly naked men and women painting the streets and each other red with tomato pulp. The city shuts down, and shopkeepers put up plastic tarps to protect their wares. Number two, Manure Mural Mayhem. Held in Kansas City, Missouri each year, farmers from throughout the region gather to create massive works of art using manure from their various livestock. Murals are the most common form of expression there, but shit sculpture is not unheard of. And finally, the Boryeong Mud Festival. People with skin disorders converge on the town of Boryeong, South Korea, to be covered in mineral-rich mud, which is considered to be effective treatment for their various rashes. And also, the mud is thought to restore and maintain youthful appearance. Which of those is fake, Chris?
The mud festival.
What's your reasoning?
It was serious with two silly ones.
It was serious with two silly ones. Okay,
yeah.
So the mundane one you would think would be the right, but you'd be wrong in thinking that the Boryeong Mud Festival is an actual thing.
Okay.
The Manure Mural Mayhem is the fake one.
Consonants, damn it.
Consonants. Damn your poetic devices.
Yeah. Although, shit sculptures.
that was the weakest one. That was one that I like put together at the last minute.
So yeah.
I'm very surprised that you believe that. Okay, we're going to go to...
Hicks are weird, man.
They are. I wouldn't put it past them. And you know what? You know what other group I wouldn't put past to be like super weird?
What?
The Japanese.
Nope.
Nope, I would not put it past them. These are Japanese sex festivals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First one, Pansu Matsuri. This is a week-long celebration of Japanese panties as a representation of virginity and purity. Women and men celebrate this occasion with equal fervor, displaying massive panty collections and panty-themed artwork. Number two, Kanemaru Matsuri. This Japanese fertility festival is all about the penis. Revelers converge to create and display sculptures of penises made out of common household items such as candles, vegetables, and, you know, big decorations. Prostitutes are known to pray before these phallic idols to ward off the threat of deadly STDs in the course of the coming year. And finally, the last Japanese sex festival, Hadaka Matsuri. Thousands of naked men take to the streets in Japan for one of the largest nudist gatherings in the world. It is a Japanese Shinto belief that naked men absorb evil, so clothed attendees will touch the naked men in order to have them absorb the bad spirits from their bodies. Now, which of those is fake? Keeping in mind that you whiffed it on the first two, so you need to save some face here.
The middle one.
The middle one, the Kanemaru Matsuri, the penis idols.
Yes.
What's your reasoning behind that?
I don't know. I just think it
just,
is.
You just
I'm going to go with my gut.
You're going to go with your gut. Well, you probably should have gone with the panties because Pansu Matsuri is a fake thing made up.
Oh, well.
See, you whiffed it.
I'm a loser.
Cultures are weird. You should feel bad.
Hate myself.
You should really feel bad about yourself because of that thing, because of your shameful performance.
Women praying to penises?
Women pray to penises.
Huh.
Hey, you know, it's fertility, you know? I mean, they're a very basic set of needs that most of these things go back to, and it's almost comforting in a way to see that cultures across the world, they all kind of value the same stuff, the crop, the, you know, fertility, safety. You know, I think that in a certain way is indicative of the human condition.
Hmm.
Yeah. Do you have a story for me, Chris?
Needs. I have needs. Do you have needs?
I've got plenty of needs.
Can you do me a huge favor?
I can tweak my nipple. Do you want me to do that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There we go.
Can I F your car?
Car fuckers?
Yeah. Mechophilia.
I am a motorsexual.
Oh, my God.
You're saying mechophilia?
A man named Edward Smith claims he's had sex with 1,000 cars.
Oh, my God.
He lives with his current girlfriend, a white Volkswagen Beetle named Vanilla. He insists he's not sick, and he doesn't want to change. He says, I appreciate beauty, and I go a little beyond appreciating the beauty of a car, only to the point of what I feel is an expression of love. Maybe I'm a little bit off the wall, but when I see movies like Herbie and television shows like Knight Rider, where cars become lovable, huggable characters, it's just wonderful. I'm a romantic, he says. I write poetry about cars. I sing to them, and I talk to them just like a girlfriend. I know what's in my heart. Edward Smith is 57. The first time he had sex with a car was at the age of 15.
Pardon the pun, Chris.
Yes.
I don't want to interrupt you, but what are the mechanics of having sex with a car?
It is not explained.
Damn it.
It is not explained. At no point in anything I'm going to say, because this guy is he's just a treasure trove of great quotes.
Okay.
But no, not, I don't know. I don't know if it's in them, on them. I don't know.
Well, if he's had sex, I can't imagine that this man, you know, especially if he's in a national, if he's on the internet, I can't imagine that people grant him access to the interior of their car.
Well, we're going to get to that.
Okay.
We're going to get to that.
Okay. Sorry, I'm jumping the gun. Okay.
His obsession, if you want to call it that, has spread beyond cars to other vehicles. The most intense sexual experience was making love to the helicopter from the 1980s TV hit Airwolf. as well as Vanilla, his Volkswagen Beetle girlfriend currently, he regularly spends time with other vehicles, a 1973 Opel GT named Cinnamon, and a 1993 Ford Ranger Splash named Ginger.
So it's an open relationship?
Well, yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Before Vanilla, he had a 5-year relationship with Victoria, a 1969 VW bug he bought from a family of Jehovah's Witnesses.
They could not fulfill that car's needs.
He does confess that many of the cars he has had sex with have belonged to strangers or car showrooms. His last relationship with a woman was 12 years ago, and he just couldn't bring himself to consummate it.
What?
Yeah.
So he thinks vaginas are icky.
Yeah, just grody. He prefers tailpipes and gas tanks, I guess. And the best
burns
part is
so good.
The best part is safe for last, and I'm gonna just read his quote verbatim, all right?
God.
There are moments way out in the middle of nowhere, you know, just cruising. When I see a little car, you know, parked, and I swear it just needs loving.
Okay.
There have been certain cars that attracted me, and I would wait until nighttime, creep up to them, and just hug and kiss them. That's a thing.
I never understood why people got those, you know, tarp things like the car covers until now.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That super skeezes me out.
Safe car effing.
That's exhausting. Contemplating that is exhausting.
How do you do it? What does that mean?
Does he wait until the motor's going and then he just jiggles his nuts on the hood, getting off on the vibration?
I don't know.
Is that what riding dirty means, Chris? I don't know. Okay, so this is model year 2012, right?
Sure.
Okay, so 12 years ago, the model year would have been 1994. So if he goes any more recent than that, does he get busted on statch?
Probably.
Probably. This is the same amount. I'm trying to decide if this is more or less alarming than like people who are really, really, really super enthusiastic about sex dolls.
Hello, pals.
But think about it, like, because all this is about, I mean, at the root of this, a car can't like have a personality and needs except for the ones that you like impose on it, right? Like he's talking about having a loving relationship with a car, but it's him. Like that car is him. He's projecting onto it. Like,
I've jumped from the seat of a relationship while it was still moving.
That's what he calls it.
What?
That's what he calls it?
No.
Like in post.
I'm just saying, I mean, I guess it, in that sense. It
like, makes... I'm going to go back into post-production here, and I'm going to add, like, crazy violin plucking, like, spider crawling around music. This is horrifying.
It's kind of crazy. People are passionate about cars.
People are, but they're like they watch Top Gear, and they, like, want to, like, go really fast. Not own it. They don't want to, you know, like, just be strapped to the hood as it goes through a car wash.
Very,
you know,
just with a
throbbing erection rubbing up against the hood ornament. Good God.
21-year-old Zachary Wood stabbed his friend after the two men got into an argument this past weekend over whether Ford or Chevy vehicles were better. Friends were driving their four-wheeled vehicles in a field when an argument broke out. A fist fight began. And then Wood pulled out a knife and stabbed his friend.
You know what? I actually did pre-pro on this too. Ironically, they're both in prison, and ironically, some dude named Calvin pissed on both of them. So,
wow, in silhouette,
right?
Calvin silhouette just pissed
off. Yep,
on.
A man named Calvin Silhouette just gave these two dudes a golden shower. Okay, so they they straight up shivved each other over brand loyalty.
Just cause, yeah.
Just because. Wow. Cars shouldn't be used for hate. Chris, can I give you a story about another sexy story about cars?
Sure.
Okay, so here we go. This took place in Elyria. Okay, actually, no, not Elyria, Lorraine. Now, a Lorraine, Ohio woman was arrested last week for striking a friend with a car while intoxicated. Sounds, you know, normal, right? I mean, not much out of the ordinary there. But Brittany Ogletree, who is 21, was hanging out with some friends after having returned home from a bar. Her friends proceeded to taunt Ogletree about having contracted an STD. The particular STD was not identified in the news story. Quote, Brittany became very upset and aggravated. She began making threats towards people and yelling and screaming at them. She was very, very sensitive about her drip or clap or, you know, AIDS.
Sure.
Yeah. Ogletree then got into her car and tried to drive into the group of friends who were attempting to flee. She claimed that she was trying to hit Jimmy, but ended up hitting Donna instead. Donna's leg was broken in several places, and when the authorities arrived on the scene, bone was poking through the skin.
Is this a prom night safety video?
That covers all the bases, doesn't it?
I think it does. If you do this, bone will stick through your skin.
Wait, that even goes into it. What kind of bone? Is it a penis bone?
No.
Did you know that raccoons are the only animal that have bones in their penis?
Really?
Yeah. Sorry, the church bells are in the background here, so
I'll believe anything.
I'll believe anything you say as church bells activate in the periphery here. Church bells in the periphery. Can I give you another car story, Chris? In this car block, in this engine, this engine block of our program.
Yeah, go okay. For it. This engine block. Ooh, what's the matter with your brain?
I don't know. I was hoping that within the course of 27 previous episodes, somebody could diagnose that, but I think that it's going to be a while.
This pop tastes funny. Apparently it's not carbureted.
God. A 35-year-old Los Angeles man is in the hospital after receiving serious injuries while, quote, car surfing with a vehicle piloted by a drunk driver. Now, car surfing is the practice of holding onto a car's bumper while riding a skateboard in order to gain a boost or a lift, etc. The driver's erratic movements caused the skateboarder to lose his grip, tumbling to the ground and hitting his head. Now, Chris, I have a question for you. Do you remember the Nintendo Entertainment System game Skate or Die?
Yeah, I do.
He chose Die. He didn't die.
Got no money. Got no fame.
No need no credit card to ride this train.
Marty! Marty, you'll never believe it!
I just totally clipped. I'm sorry about that.
What?
I clipped the recording level. Don't worry. I get excited when I'm Doc Brown, okay? I forget. Did that happen in the Back to the Future?
Yeah, it was the opening scene. Yeah.
Damn it!
Yeah. Michael J. Fox's steady hand grabbed the bumper of a Jeep Wrangler as he skated, you know, towards Doc Brown's laboratory.
Wait a minute, that's car surfing. And then in Teen Wolf, Michael J. Fox surfed in a car again. Yes. Does car surfing cause Parkinson's?
Now in the opening scene of Police Academy, the woman angry that her husband was going to the Police Academy.
The movie Police
Locked
Academy
out of the car. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And then he jumped on the hood.
Okay.
Remember? That's okay. A different kind of car surfing.
Wow. That is. Are we noticing a theme here? All 80s
so.
Movies climax in a boat race and they begin with car surfing.
I'm pretty sure that dumbasses are, you know, 30 years behind mimicking movies.
Wait a minute. Did that guy climax while surfing a car, Mr. Vanilla?
Probably. That's how he fell in love the first
Holy
time.
Shit.
They just have control over me.
I think we cracked the code.
Cars are used to do funny things.
They are. It's funny. Chris, a lot of crime is confusing. But can I give you possibly the most inscrutable, like, public emergency I've ever seen?
Yes, go.
Not to make this the crime cast or whatever. I worry about us becoming that. But this is too much. Just because it is so purely baffling.
Now, stupid criminals. Da-dum-bum.
Hey, kids, crime doesn't pay. I'm a dumb man who did a weird thing. Here on the Crime Podcast. Stupid boys, stupid boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when those damn Ross kids talk about you? Okay. Now, mystery abounds in Virginia after a raft shut down a waterway near a nuclear power plant. Now, terrorism has been ruled out as a probable explanation, but that doesn't make what happened any less baffling.
What's in the box?
Friday morning, a crabber called police after spotting a man in an inflatable raft chained by the neck to a black box. Now, the crabber offered assistance, thinking the man was in trouble of some sort, but the chained man said he didn't need any help. Now, police showed up at the scene as the man floated through the causeway. Now, the police described him as fluctuating between being lucid and helpful and incoherent and agitated. Said police, we spent several hours trying to talk to this guy and ascertain what was going on, why he was there. There wasn't a lot of information we got out of him. Now, the growing sense of unease was caused the airspace around the waterway to be shut down as the man agreed to have his raft pulled to the shore. The bomb squad was called in to investigate his mysterious black box, but x-rays revealed no bomb. Instead, the box was full of sand. The as-of-yet unidentified man is in state custody, but he hasn't been charged with any crime because he didn't really commit any crime. It's not a crime to be on a raft with a box full of sand chained to your neck. That said, mental health evaluations are pending. Now, do you have any further information about this, Chris?
No, I didn't know that the box was full of sand. I didn't read that detail.
Yep, full of sand.
I didn't choose that because the pictures were too funny to for me to try to describe.
I didn't even like see any pictures, so
well, that's why, if you saw the pictures, you wouldn't have attempted to try to do that
to describe them.
Yeah,
no,
to describe what happened, because the pictures are just like
it's like a one-man raft, and he's like curled up fetal style. It's pretty funny. No, I chose this because like my only explanation that I could come up with is like some kind of interdimensional travel. Like, this is the setup to a Philip K. Dick novella. He woke.
What is a novella?
It is a small novel somewhere in the vicinity of 150 to 200 pages. It's not large enough to be a novel. Some famous novellas throughout history include George Orwell's 1984, Upton Sinclair's The Jungle. I am very passionate about novellas.
What I miss?
Okay. Do you have any stories for me, Chris?
Yeah. Santa Teresa, New Mexico. NM.
Okay.
Border. Mexico. United States.
Is this a fucking film noir film? Mm-hmm. It was Sunday. I was in my office.
It wasn't drugs or human trafficking. But it was illegal baloney. Caught the attention of Border Patrol agents, the New Mexico Port of Entry. U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers at Santa Teresa seized 385 pounds of Mexican contraband meat from behind the seat of a pickup truck. It's illegal to bring bologna into this country because it's made of pork and it could kill us. The 33-year-old Mexican man was transporting the meat, was assessed a $1,000 fine and then released.
Huh.
This has something to do with the pork industry.
It does. I think
that it has the mob controlled pork industry says nope.
There's something hinky happening here because
it's not good.
You know, we should, you know, our border should be, you know, people should be able to penetrate our nation with pork. Okay.
Deeply. I'm not just talking about, you know,
just give me a deep porking.
Yeah, right in the middle.
Just give me a deep porking.
No, not the tips.
Chris, if I could do it all over again, I would have named this podcast Contraband Baloney.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, what are our poor, you know, school kids supposed to put on their sandwiches?
Poor.
I don't know. You know, I was thinking about something, and you know, I know that we stay away from criticizing mom on this show mostly out of a courtesy. But I was thinking about something about the lunches that I was packed, you know, as a small child, you know, going into school, and something that I remember actually quite fondly was lunch meat roll ups. Which was
you were low carb from the start.
Pieces of lunch meat like salami or bologna rolled up into little tubes and put into a sandwich bag. I never questioned it. It was just like, it was lunch meat roll ups. I mean, I'm eating pieces of lunch meat with a toothpick holding it together, not questioning that maybe she just didn't have bread. Not she couldn't afford it or whatever, but just there was no bread in the house to make a sandwich.
I think that she did it because you were a picky eater.
Okay, that's
because I got to buy lunch because I would eat stuff.
That's true. I had to put up with this bullshit.
it was always a big ordeal. Oh, go, you got a cold pack Cole's lunch.
Yeah, okay. I'm okay. No,
I think what are you gonna have for lunch, Chris? I'm like, yeah, well,
whatever
they put on the tray.
Yeah. Texas worst straw case, hat.
Worst case, I ran out of my lunch ticket, and they were like, "Yeah, I'm gonna have to charge today."
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about charging lunches.
You can't charge again.
Oh, I forgot about charging lunches. That's like a
charge
thing.
Lunch.
You're like letting 7-year-olds go on credit.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
You could get into them for like $5 or $6, then they cut you off.
Well, then would they really let a little kid go hungry like that?
He did me.
Okay.
They wouldn't even let me call mom.
Really?
No, I said, no, she'll vouch for me. We got it. We're good for it.
God, that's funny.
Bitch made me give her my trapper keeper.
Because collateral?
Yeah.
The one that had the turtles on it?
No.
You were too old for the turtles. I forgot.
Yeah, I didn't have the turtles on it.
Okay.
I did not.
You did not. You did not have turtles with their scary gums.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Beijing, China.
Okay.
Watermelons have been bursting by the score after farmers gave them overdoses of growth chemicals during wet weather, creating what state media called fields of landmines.
Okay.
Prices over the past year prompted many farmers to jump into the watermelon market. Which sounds awesome.
Yeah, that sounds like a Starburst commercial.
Like a really painful, messy ball pit. But all the exploding melons apparently were because farmers were first time users of a long available growth accelerator called 4-chlorfenron.
Okay.
China's regulations don't forbid the drug, and it is allowed in the US on kiwi fruit and grapes.
But not watermelons because
farmers in China
rind.
Yes, farmers in China are abusing both legal and illegal chemicals, with many farms misusing pesticides and fertilizers. The drug had been used too late in the season, and that recent heavy rain also raised the risk of the fruit cracking open.
Wait a minute. So are we talking about like violent explosion here, or are we just talking about like just, oh, the rind's cracked and it's like ruined now?
Just like multiple low budget head exploding moons just all over the field.
Are we talking about like daddy doesn't have eyes anymore because of the seeds?
No, this is kind of cool. The use of this hormone or whatever it is, the accelerator, it actually, the seeds in the fruit that they use it in.
Okay.
Are undersized and generally lack color.
Okay. So like seedless watermelons, like there's like little white things.
Basically, yeah. Probably not.
That's interesting. See, no, that's one of those things. Like I remember that from like biology class, like as an explanation for why we don't have like 30-foot tall spiders or whatever, is like the size of an organism is actually limited by the relationship between surface area and volume, because volume is cubed and surface area is squared. like a cellular, a cell can't get too big without just kind of like not being like able to exist, because the cell wall cannot grow at a pace fast enough to keep up with the increase in volume. So like that's why we don't have like gigantic things, and in fact why there seems to be like an upper limit on the size of organisms. Science.
And 40 foot Smurfs.
Is that a President of the United States song?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How do you know?
Because of the voice you like set it in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at that.
You're good. You can make some money on the side impersonating the bald guy from the Presidents. Okay, well, since I just dropped that science bomb on you, can I take you to the science?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take you there anyway. Right. Genetic research at the Yale School of Medicine has determined that only a single genetic marker determines whether or not someone will be a genius or a simpleton. This genetic marker, named laminin gamma 3 or LAMC3, influences the development of folds in the cerebral cortex, the area of the brain responsible for our higher consciousness. More folds equals more surface area, and more surface area equals more brain. So there's one little switch inside the little blueprint for our body, our makeup, and that determines whether we, you know how to operate a slide rule or we are drooling in front of Yo Gabba.
There's a party in my tummy.
Oh man. So yeah,
I think that's simple.
It's that simple.
Apparently this is a dimmer switch.
It's on or it's off. Basically, it says it doesn't affect the level of intelligence that you have. It's just like whether or not you have the capacity to develop beyond a certain thing. I think it's fascinating because I'm very much in line with the kind of spiritual belief that they're, you know, that the mind and body are separate things, but they're, you know, but because we recognize that they're separate, they're interconnected in very profound ways. I just like the idea that the machinery of our body dictates a lot of how we perceive the world, and it goes down to like there's more surface area, so therefore I can think and remember and reason more. Like that's
so
it. Just the
so you,
more
you
brain
tell
equals
me,
better.
You
than.
Can tell me all day. You can say, "Chris, I'm so much smarter than you," but then you're so smart, you can explain why you're smarter than me. is that where we're at here?
No, I'm not.
You
claiming,
like to know why?
I'm not claiming that I'm smarter than you, unless you want to crack our noggins open and measure the surface area of our brain using some kind of Archimedes type tub and water experiment.
Well, you're like hipster better than me, so.
Chris, I don't think I'm better than you. You're just saying that because you think you're worse than me. All right.
What are you, Jesus?
I'm just telling you. The fact that you say that says more about you than it says about me.
More to come about this guy probably next week. The guy in New Zealand, I think it is, or Australia, one of the two, yeah, that says that he's Jesus.
Okay.
Homework. Go to YouTube and watch this guy's videos. Because I'm telling you, he could con you out of like your teeth. I was sitting here like I'm a 7-minute YouTube video. I'm 4.5 minutes in, and I'm like my checkbook's out. I don't know the guy's name.
You're looking at postage rates.
Just ready to go.
You're looking at postage rates to Australia, Zealand.
Yeah, I'm gonna mail myself there with my bank account.
I'm gonna mail myself there in a crate line with my own money.
And he's just drawing on a whiteboard.
Yeah.
Now, when I say I'm Jesus, how does that make you feel? Skeptical?
Huh. Mm-hmm. It should.
I think that's masking an underlying emotion.
Is
really,
that
Fraser Crane. Are you sure?
Yeah. That's funny.
Mm-hmm. So fear maybe, huh? Yeah, fear? What are you afraid of? What, people will think you're crazy? Oh, so it's not fear. It's rejection.
It's fear of
rejection.
Reject
you. I won't reject you.
This guy, oh man, this is dangerous. This is dangerous. There's a guy.
So look it up.
What's his name?
I have no idea.
But just do New Zealand Jesus?
Yeah. Okay. And he's like, I don't know, 40-something. His wife's like 30-something or whatever. And she's Mary Magdalene. they're just people. They're just, you know, just chilling.
What's the harm in that? Is he asking for money?
I don't know. No, he's got like 40 followers. I mean, it's like David Koresh almost. Okay. But I don't think that he's like raping people. I think that he's like a good dude. He's just misguided, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Or maybe he is. Maybe he is. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's definitely charismatic.
Yeah.
He's got that.
I mean, is he like preaching hate? Is he like, "Brr, join my cult and I'll be, you know, and we shall take a blood toll."
No. He's not. There's nothing like that. He's just teaching people. He's not teaching them how to, like, you know, graft their own skin.
to make flesh golems from, you know, through which to prowl the lands and feast on the unbelieving.
Yeah, he's not teaching them amateur cartooning.
That's, that's what I would do.
Teaching good things, I guess. Yeah. Huh. He says, like, I don't want to be the son of God.
I can't help who I am.
I mean, I can't deny divine truth, you know?
I'm all for skepticism and I'm all for, you know, asking questions of people. But if he's out there teaching, you know, love and acceptance and, you know, just a way to cope with the reality that surrounds him, I don't think I can be mad at this guy.
I don't think so either.
You know, and if he's not, okay.
But maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
There's no way to say.
Yeah, I'm not experiencing pure emotion about this right now.
Come with me and you'll see a world of pure imagination. Okay.
Somebody has to be the voice of reason here. And in this case, it's going to be the Guinness Book of World Records.
Okay.
They're not going to give a record to a town in the Philippines where 1,500 boys recently took part in a mass circumcision in what's being called the world's largest ever circumcision party. The Guinness Book chimes in as the voice of reason. In the record, the Book of Records does not recognize the number of medical procedures within a set period of time or in a mass group due to hygiene considerations and risks. Medical procedures that should be undertaken only on the advice of a doctor, and the patient's welfare should always be the primary concern.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's not going to happen.
Huh. Who would have thought that I would respect Guinness?
I guess, you know, it is what it is.
It is. I'm not going to argue with that.
What are they doing with all that foreskin?
I don't... Are they making a flesh golem?
You gonna what are you doing with all that foreskin after? not all of it. Just a little, you know,
can
whatever.
You slide me some of
just
the leftover foreskin.
Whatever you don't have. whatever's not committed.
Whatever you're not gonna use.
Yeah, just, you know, I mean, if it's, you know, if you're just gonna throw it out.
I mean, you know, there's no reason it should go to waste.
No, I don't want it. I just don't want it to go to waste.
I mean, I want to use every part of the buffalo here.
No, I'm not gonna do that.
Especially the buffalo's foreskin.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
I'm hungry. Are you hungry?
I'm hungry. My dolls need hats.
Oh my God. Are we just going to play fucking table football with them? I assume that what they cut off ends up in a triangle. Judging by the indent that the shears made on me.
Hey, let's talk about the topography of our penises here.
Okay.
Narrow your reach. This
has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
I'm nauseous. I am literally nauseous sitting here. It's so hot. It's so goddamn hot. I'm like
so hot.
It's like hot. like my earphones are sticking to my head, and like my eyes, like sweat is dripping into my eyes. It's really bad.
My eyes are sweating.
My eyes are, let's call it, I'm crying. I'm sitting here crying because of this podcast, as well the listeners should be. So if the listeners want to cry some more, I think they can go to, thosedamnrosskids.com. There they can find old episodes of the show and links to our, iTunes, page, all of that.
Testify
to the Lord. They can subscribe to us, and they can leave a review. Let me read a review that was left here.
Oh, shit. People are listening to this?
Yeah. What's this thing in front of my face? Can you?
It's a pile of foreskin.
One thing that you wouldn't know, foreskin makes an excellent, excellent pop filter.
I have a real foreskin pop filter.
It's stretched very thin to the point of transparency. Let's see here. Carlo on iTunes says, great podcast. Very funny. Thank you so much, Carlo. You can follow the show on Twitter at TDRK Podcast. We let you know about new episodes and stuff like that. What else can they do, Chris?
That's about it.
Well, they can you know, be a fan of us on Facebooks.
Yeah, they could like us.
Yeah, they can like us. Please like me. Please approve of me. I need to do this. The duckfeed.tv website, I actually have something up there now. I'm working on something functional, but as of right now, it's a link to my two existing podcasts. So that's going to be a thing. If you want to send us an email with questions, comments, concerns, things you'd like us to talk about, things you'd like us to read aloud, that is at thosedamnrosskids@duckfeed.tv. All right. So quack, quack. We're done here. Goodbye.
So hot.
So fucking hot. What's happening? Good night.